Good Shabbos, everybody. Shabbat Shalom. Bezat Hashem. We're going to be learning the parasha in our weekly parasha summary. We're up to parasha Vayera. Vayera. Bezat Hashem. Vayera elav Adonai be'elonei mamre v'u yoshev petach ha'oel kehom hayom. Avram Avinu is on the third day of his Brit Milah. Third day after circumcision, which is the hardest day. And Hashem appears to him. Hashem appears to him and is doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. The rabbi sees us. We have a mitzvah to visit someone when they're not feeling well. They're sick, and by way of that, you take away 1/60th of their sickness. It's an important thing to do. It's an important mitzvah. And Bezat Hashem, Allah goes on in this parasha. We also have Yitzchak and the Akedah in this parasha. A lot of powerful things and many, many lessons. Bezat Hashem, we'll get into the summary. So we have an overview of what's going on in the Torah. It's extremely important to understand the pshat of the Torah, the simple, what's being told to us in the Torah on a simple level. And here and there, Bezat Hashem, if the gems come down, we'll try to share some. In the first Aliyah, Hashem reveals himself on the third day of Avraham's circumcision in order to visit the sick, like we said. And even though Avraham was sick, he was sitting in the opening of his tent. Why was Avraham sitting in the opening of his tent? Because he's trying to see the people that are passing by. You know, passerby is to invite them in. Avraham was all about doing chesed and doing kindness, loving kindness for other people. And he's looking for people to bring into his house. So he's sitting in the entrance of the tent. It says that Hashem took out the sun from its sheath so that it would be extremely hot, so that no one would be walking outside. And no one would even pass by. And he saw that the pain that Avram had, that he didn't have guests, was worse than the pain of the circumcision. So Hashem wanted to make him feel better, so he sent guests. Hashem, right, like we said, takes the sun out of its cover up, so that no one would mess with, no one would need to be served by Avram. Avram always wanted to do this, to help people. It wasn't just a regular house, you know. Avram would bring people in, wash their feet, wash their hands, which is a hint to getting rid of all of their impurity and their idol worship. Feed them the best of food. So the best host we ever had, the host with the most, Avram Avinu. Hashem sees that Avram is in a lot of pain, that he doesn't have any guests, and he brings three guests, three angels, in the image and appearing like Arabs, like Arab men traveling in the desert. And immediately he runs towards them, and he asks from the greatest out of them to come into his house. And here we have a deep lesson.
Say Arabs.
Ishmael is Egyptian. He's Egyptian and Iraqi. Arabs are a people that existed. Islam is not Arab. Arabs exist as a pagan people that to this day have their pagan principles and behaviors and mindsets. And on top of that, they added a crazy religion called Islam. But those are two different things. There's a people called the Arabs, and most of the Middle East is not even Arab.
What about Ishmaelites? Were they?
It's an ideology. In an ideology, Arabs and Islam align with Ishmael.
You said most of the Middle East is not Arab, or what is it?
Originally, they're not. We're here from the Middle East. We're not Arab. Sumerians are not Arab.
Arab just means...
Arab is a type of people. Arabia. Arabs are from Saudi Arabia. The rest of the people that were living in the Levant, where are they from? Wherever they were from. There's Turks, and there's Berbers, there's... This whole Middle East is all tribes. Arabs went across in the name of Islam and Arab, pan-Arabism, and conquered the whole entire Middle East and flip it to be like that. It's like all of South America speaks Spanish. They're not at all Spanish. There's some people there that came from Spain, but they were in power, so they made everybody speak Spanish.
So the people in Iraq are Arabs?
No, most of them are not.
Okay.
Babylonians. There was 4,000 years of presence in that land.
It's
as the people.
They'll take it on like I'm an Arab.
They don't take it on. They're forced to it. Exactly. It's this, like this, like the idiots nowadays that call themselves Palestinians. There's no such thing as a Palestinian people. There's no such thing. As of, the most common last name in Palestine is Al-Matsi, the Egyptian. they're not a people. But now there's a, now in our generation, there's a people called the Palestinian people. Who are they? They're not actually Palestinian. Just a collection of all these different things. But we're not getting into this right now.
It's one more question. UAE is Arab.
Correct, United Arab Emirates. Okay. And they're right next to Saudi Arabia.
No.
Correct.
So setting up an peninsula.
The Arabian Gulf is Arab. The rest of the people are not Arab. And even there, not everybody was Arab.
Okay.
So, he brings in these guests. And it's an important lesson that we can learn from this. The rabbis say, Gedol achnasat orchim mi kabbalat pnei ashkina. Bringing guests into your house might be greater than sitting one-on-one with the Shekhinah. You have God's presence and you're meditating, you're doing your holy things, it's very nice, but if a person needs a drink, a person needs some help, a person needs a favor, that's bigger than sitting your one-on-one moment in godliness. And here we have Avraham Avinu in the parasha. He's sitting, Hashem's coming to visit him, Hashem is doing Birkur Cholim, and all of a sudden he sees three people walking by. There's two ways you can understand this part, this verse. The verse says, "Vayomar Adonai imna matzati chen be'enecha al nata v'omel avdecha." The pshat, the simple understanding is, it's not Adonai godly way. It's Adoni, my master. Please, my master, don't leave me. Who is that? The guests. Avram doesn't want these guests to leave him. They say, if he knew there were angels, who was he talking to? Michael, talking to Michael, who's called Gadol. And he doesn't want them to leave him. But the word practically that's written there is Adon, my master, which is classically God. He says, please, my God, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Why? Because I want to go get these guests. So then who's he talking to? It's either he's talking to the biggest of the guests and saying, don't leave me. Or he's talking to Hashem and saying, don't leave me, I need to bring in the guests. Either way, you understand from this that Avram was willing to sacrifice his one-on-one time with Hashem in order to do good for another person. That's a very important lesson. You can't completely sacrifice and you can't give up on your spirituality. You can't get rid of your spirituality. But you can ask for it to be put on pause in order to come into this world to help someone else. It's an important lesson.
Is it short? I've learned that was his first time in his life that he was talking to Hashem. By sitting down, because I mean, he heard things from Hashem and then he was talking to Hashem. He gave that up to help other people. Is that true? Or was he talking to Hashem, like the Shekhinah was resting with him before this?
I don't know. Don't know how to answer.
Okay.
Don't know if I really understand the question, but
okay.
He was told by Hashem Lech Lecha before that. I don't know if I fully understood, but can we go on now?
Yeah.
So these three people come. And straight away, Avram runs towards them. Why run? Because he's excited. Running is a sign of happiness. A person that's cold and depressed doesn't move quickly. So here Avram is running towards these guests. He wants to bring them into his house. And he brings them water so that they'll wash their feet from the path. And they'll rest underneath the tree. And he also wants to give them bread so that they'll eat. And they'll make Birkat HaMazon. Avram's whole entire thing, he was the first person to have a hostel with all-you-can-eat food. And on the menu, there was all these different prices. And then the waiter at the end of the meal would come up to you and tell you, hey, listen, it's true the steak cost 100 shekel. But if you say these words for the next 4 minutes, it's free, it's on the house. Just say Birkat HaMazon. Bless God. And if you do it, then the meal's on us. That's how Avram's house was. And Avram, now also, he wanted them to eat so that they'll be able to do Birkat HaMazon. And then, keep going on your path. This is why you came to me. That's why it's my tent that you pass by. And they give him permission to go do whatever he has to do. Avram goes really, really quickly to the tent, to Sarah, his wife, to ask her to prepare cakes. The rabbis say, what is it, cakes? Lushi vasi ugot. That's matzah. This is where we got the mitzvah of matzah from. From this act of Sarah quickly making cakes. Quickly making it like matzah is quickly made. And Avram himself, he runs towards the refet, the barn, to go get a cow. A few cows. And he gave each of these guests tongues in mustard sauce. Each tongue is huge. Huge. And he goes and he picks out the most choicest of the cows, and he gives it to Ishmael to prepare the food. And he takes the shuman, the fat, and the chelev, and he takes this cow that was prepared, and he puts it in front of the guests. Avram serves them underneath the tree, and it appeared as if they were eating, but they weren't actually eating since they were angels. Angels have no business eating, right? But they, huh?
It's proper etiquette. So
they were being nice, they were being polite, right? And in the end, when they were finished eating, they asked Avram, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he answered, "Ba'al, she's in the tent." And this is a lesson for all the righteous women. You should hope that if your husband gets asked, "Where is your wife?" he should be able to say, "In a nice, modest place, doing the right things." This is what we learned from our mother Sarah. She was in the tent. She wasn't there to be seen. She wasn't trying to be seen to socialize with the men when the men were over. One of the three said to Avraham, "I'm going to come back in a year, and your wife Sarah is going to have a son." Sarah hears this whole conversation, and the Torah emphasizes to us that Avraham and Sarah were already very old, right? He's 99 years old and she's 90 years old. And Sarah didn't have her cycle. She is just essentially not able to get pregnant. And blood is obviously the sign that a woman can get pregnant, right? Sarah laughs in her heart, and she's really like blown away and taken back that after everything that I've been through, how old I am, 90 years old, my husband being 99 years old, I'm going to have the ability to get pregnant. Hashem asks Avraham, "Why is Sarah laughing? Is there something that, so to say, God can't do? Is Hashem limited in some way that she's laughing?" And even though Sarah is very old in her years, I want to give her a son. What, is that beyond Hashem? The truth is, people need to know this. We laugh sometimes because of awkwardness, of nerves, not always because we find something funny. Right? Some people, they laugh at the exact wrong times, right? Funerals, all this. Why? Because it's still an emotion that comes down over you. Just to defend Sarah, our mother, a little bit. Sarah, she got embarrassed and she said, "No, I didn't laugh." Because she also didn't understand exactly what's going on. Like, you're telling me I'm having a son? And Avram was persistent and he said, "You did laugh." Because it's better to admit the truth than to try to deny it. These guests, they left the house of Avram and they go towards Sodom in order to destroy Sodom. Not all of them together. We have to know that every angel only goes on a specific mission. And one angel doesn't do two things. The angels that came were Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael.
I have a question. Between that whole conversation, like the angel saying you're going to have a son, and then Sarah laughing, and then Hashem saying, you know, why did she laugh? Did Abraham hear Hashem say that, or through the angel, or like the angel saying?
No, it's Hashem. It's prophecy.
So prophecy.
Sarah didn't even laugh verbally. You so, couldn't hear. So they, none of them even heard it.
So both, like in front of these three angels, were men, were disguised men. They Abraham and Sarah both got prophesied in that moment. It says, like, why did Sarah laugh?
Or who knows, that they're in the tent and he's walking back and forth. It's, I don't know exactly the physical thing.
I'm trying to picture it.
So they start going to Sodom in order to destroy it. Because Sodom was a horrible, horrible city. They had elections and they elected horrible people. They had plans to make it even worse. And Sodom and Amorah, if they don't watch out. So Avram goes and he wants to escort these angels on their path. But Hashem now decides to tell Avram, watch out where you're going, because they're on a mission and I'm going to destroy the city. And he lo yichasem Avram. Can't hide this from Avram because Avram is loved. And Avram is going to become a huge nation and the whole entire world is going to be blessed by way of Avram and his children. And Avram spreads my name in the world and he strengthens other people to keep mitzvot. So Avram needs to know what's going on in the world. And if Avram gets protected, more people will guard the path of Hashem in order to do the right thing, the righteous thing, the just thing in the world. And the world will become a better place. So Hashem reveals to Avram that he's going to destroy Sodom. And Hashem says that I want to go down to Sodom to see if they're ready to do tshuva or not. And here Hashem starts to teach all the laws. Hashem teaches all the judges the laws of dinei nefeshot, of capital punishment. And you can't judge something unless you see it yourself. You can't judge on a case of capital punishment unless you know the details extremely, extremely well, and you have actual evidence that you see with your eyes. Malachim, the angels, separate from Avram, but Avram stays in his place, and he wants to start praying for the people of Sodom. Avram wants to pray for these people. He turns to Hashem, and he asks, in your anger, in your rage, Hashem, are you going to kill also a tzaddik with a rasha, also a righteous person with a wicked person? And then Avram says, maybe there's 50 holy people, righteous people here in Sodom. Aren't they enough to not have Sodom destroyed? And he keeps going, Hashem, you do the just thing all the time. And you don't include, you know, collective punishment. You're going to now take the tzaddik with the rasha'im. Rather, it should be that everybody gets judged individually, not the whole city. Hashem promises to Avram that if you find 50 tzaddikim in Sodom, the city will completely stay as it is because of those 50 tzaddikim. Avram tries to save it again, because obviously there wasn't 50 righteous people there. He says, what if there's 45? And what if there's only 40? And Hashem promises that I won't destroy them if there's 40 tzaddikim there. And again, Avram tries to save the city and he asks, what if I only find 30? And again, what if only 20? What if only 10? What if there's only 10 people in all of Sodom? Will it be saved? Hashem says, I will not destroy the city if there's 10 holy people. Avram is seeking out in all of Sodom 10 tzaddikim, but he can't find them. And then he doesn't ask for any less than that. Avram doesn't ask. I don't know if Avram had to do that. He had eyes as well, but he was seeking it out, trying to find the Nekudah Tovah. And he wasn't able to. And when he came to underneath 10, he didn't even ask. Because Kal v'chomer, we learned from Noach. Right? Noach was 8 people. And Hashem still brought down a flood. There were 8 people and it wasn't enough to save the world. So Minyan, 10 people, a quorum of people, of tzaddikim, that's what at least the world needs.
Is that where Minyan came from?
I don't know. Don't know. I think, no, a different place. Egypt, I think.
That's where the number
10 came from. Kivan Shavra Mishtatek Hashem Azav Oto. Since Avram went quiet at this moment in his Yidbodidut, Hashem leaves him. And Avram goes back to his house. Third Aliyah. these three angels come to Avram. The first one is coming to tell Sarah that she'll have a son. The second is coming to destroy Sdom, that's Gabriel. And the third one is to save Lot, and that's the same angel that healed Abraham. I was listening to a beautiful shiur. It's very, very big questions. Why did Hashem have to come? If Hashem was doing Bikur Cholim, then how is it that Raphael healed Hashem? And now is this because, right, there's only three angels and they don't do the more than one job. So if you have one that healed, one that's going to destroy, one that healed Avram, one that's coming to tell them they're going to have a child, and one that's going to just destroy Sdom, so then what was Hashem doing Bikur Cholim? And why didn't Hashem heal him? And if it, and then afterwards, who saves Lot?
Why can the angel only do one job?
Because they're angels. The word angel means messenger. A messenger gets sent on one message, on one mission. You have one message to take. That's it. It goes back. It can do another time. It can do many jobs, but at one time it does one thing. It's known that one angel doesn't do two different jobs. So the angel that went and told Sarah came back, went back to his place. And now these two angels go down to Sdom to destroy it. And they meet Lot. Lot is sitting at the gates of Sdom. And since Lot was educated by Avraham, he gets up towards the angels to bring them into his house. Right? Lot is one of Avram's main students. Bringing guests into your house is what Avram's people do. And he asks from them, and he begs them that they should come inside his house, and they should sleep there. In the morning, go on your way, but at least here, come rest in my house. But the angels answer, no, we're going to sleep in the street. But Lot pushes and pushes and pushes, and he gets them finally to agree to sleep in his house. Lot makes a whole meal for them, and he cooks matzot for them, since it was Pesach. And before nighttime, before they were able to even rest, all the people of Sdom are surrounding the house, from the young children to the elders, and they're calling out to Lot, and they're asking him, where are those people, where are the guests, those two guests that you had, where are they? Bring them out. What?
Why did they want to sleep outside?
Do
they not want
things.
This to happen to Lot?
What?
Do they not want this in
the They want bad things to happen to him. And it could also be that he wasn't that righteous and they're not trying to rest in a place like that. But it was known that in Sdom you don't have guests and you don't do these things. So right, they wanted to Rashi tells us they said yes to Avram and they said no to Lot. Meaning you can say no to a small person, but to big people you don't say no to. Person's a big person, they ask you to do something, you respect and you do. Hashem made them big. So they come and they surround the house from the young people to the older people. And they ask, where are these people? Bring them out so that we can sleep with them. We can know them. You have men here asking for men to come out so that they can know the men. Trying to do things that are forbidden by the Torah. Lot goes out of his house to them and he closed the door behind him. And he asks that, please don't hurt my guests. Don't hurt my guests. He says, rather you should take my two daughters. Take my two virgin daughters and do whatever you want with them. Just don't hurt my guests. Crazy thing for us to even think about. And you're going to see in a few stories, in a few pages, why that was the worst thing he could ever offer. You give up your own daughters to protect guests. That's not the way. And they answer him, you're a weird person. You're a foreign person. You're not from here. You came to live here with us. And you're going to now judge us? You're going to tell us what to do? They come to break the door and break into the house. And then the angels, they snatch Lot back into the house and they close the door. and they hit all the people outside with like a Makata Sanberim. They like blinded them, like the men in black, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they blinded them all out, knocked a stun grenade. And then it was very hard to find the exit out of the house. The angel said to Lot that we want to take you and your family out of the city, since we're going to destroy this whole entire place, and we're sent by Hashem to do it, because there's a lot of wickedness in this place. Lot goes to his two son-in-laws to tell them, hurry up, let's get out of here, they're going to destroy the city. And they're like laughing at him. His son-in-laws are laughing at him. Early in the morning, the angels come and they tell Lot, yeah, like, get all of your stuff, get your daughters, get your wife, and get out of the city before you get destroyed with the city. Lot tries to take a little bit of time in order to try to save all of his money, and the angels grab them all, and they grab the whole entire family, and they, the way I was reading it in the parasha, it seems as if these angels just literally grabbed them and flew them out of the city. Like within a second, they're grabbed and then they're out. And when the angels take them out of the city, they ask them, don't look back. Don't look back at the city so that you shouldn't see the city being destroyed. And they also tell them, don't just stand here. Run away. Run away. And don't run to the mountain because you might get hit there too. The Lord asks them to try to delay the decree, maybe we can pray to Hashem. And he also requests not to run away to the mountain, to be with Abraham. Because when he was with the people of Sodom, he was considered a tzaddik, and therefore Hashem saved him. But in the mountain with Abraham, all of his sins will be revealed, and then there won't be any schut for him to be saved. Lot asks to be able to find refuge and to run away to the nearby city, because there his sins won't be as amplified, as apparent. And there I'll still be considered as a tzaddik, and I'll be saved. Fourth aliyah, Hashem says to Lot, it's not enough that I saved you. I also agree that you'll be able to go to the nearby city Tzar like you asked. But go quickly so that I don't destroy Sodom before you get there. Hurry up. And that's why the place was called Tzoar. It's like Tzar, pain. And with the rising of the sun, he reaches Tzoar, and then Hashem starts to bring down on Sodom and Amorah hail, sulfur, fire, and Hashem flips the whole entire city. There's five cities there. He flips them all up, and everybody dies there. Everything gets wiped out there. Essentially, this is where the Dead Sea is, in that area around the Dead Sea, and it's completely barren today, right? Not many things grow there.
So Sodom, Gomorrah, and what are the three cities?
I don't know, but if you look inside, you see.
Okay.
Hashem destroys the cities. And Lot's wife is curious to see what happened with the city and to her house. So she looks back. She turns around, she looks back. And immediately she gets flipped into a pillar of salt. And why specifically salt? Since she made a mistake when the guests came inside the house. Lot asked her, the Midrash says, that Lot asked her for salt for the meal. And she didn't want to give the salt. So not giving good tasty food, she got turned into a pillar of salt. Avram comes back to the place and he prays again to Hashem about Sodom in the morning, very early in the morning. And there he looks and he can just see from the mountain, he can see the valley, right? Sodom and Amorah is in a valley. And he's trying to see if anybody was saved. And he sees this just pillars of smoke above all of the city. And Hashem destroyed the whole entire area. And again, he saved Lot only in the merit of Avraham. Lot goes out of Tzohar because he was scared to stay there because it was very close to Sodom. And then he went and he settled actually in the mountain inside a cave with his two daughters. Right? He lost his wife. His son-in-laws made fun of him and took their sweet time to get out, so they probably died as well there in the city. And now he only has his two daughters. The two daughters that he nearly offered away to get violated in order to save people. And these daughters think that the world was destroyed, and that it was destroyed like it was in the time of the flood. And they understood that there's no one left. It's just the three of them in the world. Everything's been destroyed. So the older daughter says to the daughter, to the younger daughter, let's get our father drunk with wine, and we'll have our way with him. And then we'll have children that continue the world. Which sounds insane and crazy, but really if you're the last three people in the world, one man and two women, family or not family, if God, number one thing over everything, he wants the world to be populated, it's not the most crazy thing in the world. It sounds disgusting to us, right? But don't forget, we're not too far away from the creation of the world, and from Noah. These are people that in their lifetime they knew of Noah, is just the generation before them. And if they're certain that the world is destroyed and there happens to be a male and two females,
I thought he went to another city.
Okay.
And then why did his...
There's no one there, though. The city, but there's abandoned. There's no one there. There's no people. You see everything destroyed.
Okay.
Bekachasu. And they got their father drunk. And then they came. The older one came to him to sleep with her father. And he didn't know what was going on. And he didn't know when he got up. And again, on the second day, they did the same thing, and the younger daughter was with him. And again, he didn't know. Both of the daughters of Lot got pregnant from their father. The older daughter, who was her idea to begin with, had a son, and she named him Moav, from my father. How crazy. And the other one, who had more tzniut and more modesty and wasn't so brazen, she named her son Ben Ami, from my nation. A little bit less in your face that the son came from her father.
Which one is King David the descendant of?
Moav, from the father, from the first one.
Oh, wow.
Mashiach comes from the craziest places. Avraham and Sarah separate from Lot, and they go and they rest in Gerar. Gerar is next to Aza, if not Aza. Right? And when they come into the city of Gerar, Avram thinks that these people are very wicked people. They don't have Yirat Shamayim. They're just like the Egyptians. And then again, he says to Sarah, his wife, please tell everybody here that you're my sister. And when Abimelech comes, the king of Gerar, Abimelech, he hears that this is his sister. So then he says, okay, sister, no problem. I want her for my wife. Hashem comes in the nighttime to Abimelech in a dream, and he says, the woman that you took is married, and if you touch her, I'm going to kill you. And Abimelech didn't go close to Sarah at all, because there was an angel that was guarding over Sarah, and he begged Hashem. He said, Avram and Sarah and their slaves and their servants, everybody said that they're brothers and sisters. And me and my innocence, I took her. I wanted to be with her. Not in order to sin. I'm telling Hashem the truth. I thought they were brother and sister. I did anything wrong. If that's her sister, then I did nothing wrong. And I did it innocently. Hashem answers, I know that you're innocent. I know that you didn't mean to do it. And therefore, I put a guardian angel watching over Sarah that you won't be able to touch her. Now, give Sarah back to Abraham. And since he's a prophet, Avram's a prophet, he'll know that you didn't touch her, and he'll pray for you. But if you don't bring her back, all of you are going to die. If you don't bring her back, it's it. Game over for everybody here in Gerar. In the morning, up early in the morning, Avimelech calls all of his servants and he tells them about his dream. Avimelech calls over Avraham and asks him, "What did you do to me? What are you doing here? And why now are we all going to have..." They weren't able to do number one or number two. They got stuffed up. That's what the affliction that was brought down in their house. And now he wants to know why. Why did you do such a thing to us? Why did you think it was proper to tell us a lie and say that she's your sister? And Avram says, "I saw that there's no Yirat Shamayim in this place. People here don't fear God. And I got scared that you're going to kill me because my wife is so beautiful." And Avram continues and he says, "You too, Avimelech. You should have understood my relationship with Sarah. Because it could be that she is my sister only from the side of my father. And it's not forbidden for Bnei Noach to get married with their step sibling, right? If it's from the father's side. Only with a sister from the mother's side it's forbidden for Bnei Noach." And he continues to explain to me, he says, "I knew that when Hashem took me out of my father's house and told me to go travel in the world and to go to the land of Israel, I knew that with a woman like this and such wicked people around in the region that are going to look at her beauty, I made a pact with Sarah and I said, this will be your chesed with me. This will be an eternal favor that you can do with me. That whenever we go to a place that's a little bit sketchy, you say that you're my sister." Avimelech immediately takes sheep and cattle and slaves and maidservants and gives it to Avraham as a gift so that he should pray for him, and he gives him back Sarah. Avimelech offers Avraham to settle in his land wherever he wants. You can take whatever plot of land you want. And Sarah, he gives her 1,000 gold coins that it's a proof that he didn't violate her. He wasn't with her. Ksut enayim, it's called. To cover up your eyes. That the world shouldn't say, "Oh look, he violated her and then just threw her back." No, she went to the house. He put down money as an apology and gave her back. She came back with honor and not touched. Then Avram prays for the refuah shlema of Avimelech and the people of his house, so that they should have a flow and not be constipated anymore. And that they'll be able to have babies. Essentially, any cavity of exit holes in the body was sealed up. So no bathroom, no giving birth, no nothing. And Avram prayed for this all to be removed. Hashem remembered the promise to Sarah that she would get pregnant, and that he promised Avraham and Sarah. And Sarah then gets impregnated, and Avraham when they finally, this child comes out, Yitzchak and Avraham were twins. They looked exactly the same. And it was exactly a year after the angels told him that he was going to be born. And Avraham calls the son Yitzchak. Avram does a brit milah for Yitzhak at the age of 8 days old, like Hashem commanded him to do. It's very important that Yitzhak looks exactly like Avram, because after leaving Avimelech's house, what are people going to say? Within a year you have a child after everybody in the country knows that you were taken by this person into his house. So the child came out looking exactly like Avraham. Avraham, at this moment, was 100 years old when Yitzhak is born. Sarah is grateful to Hashem, and she gets so happy and made a lot of other women happy. A lot of women that were barren there, and it's taught to learn this more, and then it comes about Rivka. But why is it that Sarah and Rivka couldn't have children? Because there's one commentary that says that Sarah and Rivka were barren just so that they would pray to Hashem. And by way of their prayers, They were repopulating the world, and all the other women around them were getting pregnant because of their own prayers. And after a while, it worked for them. But the Hashem needed them to continue to pray, because those prayers were getting everybody else pregnant. Here's a sign too, and we need to know this, that sometimes your prayers are, your prayers are always being answered, it's just not always for you. The same exact prayer that you put up into the heavens could be there to affect someone else and to help someone else. And a lot of sick people were also healed on the day that Yitzhak was born. There's a lot of simcha in the world, right? Az yimale sechok. Sechok is also Yitzhak. Yitzhak. There's laughter that filled up in the world when he was born. And women didn't believe that Sarah gave birth at such an age. And they thought that she just, found some baby in the streets and took him into the house. So Hashem made a miracle and made it that Sarah should have tons of milk to be able to nurse a lot of children. So now Sarah became like the main nurser for a lot of the boys, and then the women of the generation knew how she nursing if she didn't get pregnant. It must be that it's her son. Abraham did a Mesibat Odaya, a Thanksgiving party, when Yitzchak was 24 months old, 2 years old. That was the day that he stopped nursing, he was finally weaned off of nursing, and Avraham threw a party for him. And Sarah, at that party, sees that Ishmael, the son of Hagar, was Mitzahek. Mitzahek is a language of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, and Retzach. Mitzahek is another way that the rabbis use, and the Torah teaches us. The rabbis teach us that the Torah uses this word in Mitzahek to represent three different things: idol worship, sexual immorality, and blood spilling, murder. And Ishmael is mitzachek with Yitzchak. And Sarah sees this and she doesn't like it. So Sarah asks from Avraham to kick out Ishmael and Hagar from the house, because she says, I don't want my son Yitzchak to learn from such bad behavior. And she also didn't want him to inherit anything. And he's the son of Avram, but why should he have inheritance? Avram takes a lot of pain, and it hurts him a lot to know that his son Ishmael is such a bad child, that he went off the derech. He's trying to molest his brother, kill him, teach him about idols. And Avram doesn't know what to do. What do you do? Your firstborn son, your son. What do you do? Your wife, who's your main wife, is telling you, get him and his mother out of the house. And Avraham, again, is Isha Chesed. He loves. His whole thing is love. He doesn't know what to do. Hashem reveals himself to him and says that he shouldn't have any pain about Ishmael and his mother. And whatever Sarah tells you, Shma Bekola. Kol Asher Tomar Elecha Sarah, Shma Bekola. Ki beitzchak yikare lechazara. It's by way of Yitzchak that I said when I told you you're gonna have offspring, you're gonna have blessing. I was talking about Yitzchak. That's your seed. That's your son. And he says, listen to you. And this is a thing that us as men we have to know how to weigh. From here, a lot of the rabbis say that there's a certain ruach hakodesh that we have to listen to our wives. We have to understand when our wives are talking to us. There's a lot of depth there. Shma bekola. And Avram, being a good Jew, a Talmid Chacham, knows that every single commandment from God has a measure, halachically, what times, when do I have to listen? Shema Bekola, listen to your wife's voice. Okay, but when? What's the halachic parameters? Now Hashem says to him, Shema, Shacharit Mincha Arvit, morning, afternoon, and evening. You have to listen to your wife. You have to listen to your wife. So us as men, we have to be smart of how we balance it, right? But Hashem tells Avraham, get them out. She wants them out, get them out. Because the children, again, that are going to continue your path, they come from Yitzchak. But also your child Ishmael will become a nation. Because After all, Ishmael is still the son of Abraham, and Abraham has a huge bracha that is going to be that way. So Ishmael also will become a big nation. Abraham doesn't have a doubt anymore. He wakes up early in the morning, he takes bread, and he takes some water, and he gives it to Hagar and to Ishmael, and he gives Ishmael to Hagar and sends them out of the house. This portion, just so you know, Bereshit Kaf Aleph. Bereshit Kaf Aleph, the 21st chapter of Bereshit. The Yanuka told me personally, when I needed a child and we didn't have children, to read this every single day. This and Chana's prayer, Vatitvalal Chana, Tfilat Chana, every single day. It's a zgula to get to have children. Or Hashem, I have two now. But this was something that I did for many, many days that the Yanuka told me to do. To read Bereshit 21, Kaf Aleph, and to say Hana's prayer every day. Hagar gets lost she's wandering in the desert. The water that she had is now done, and she starts to get scared that Ishmael's gonna dehydrate from the heat of the desert. So she went and she threw him underneath one of the trees there, one of the bushes. And she went and she sat across afar, and she didn't want to see her son dying. She didn't want to look at Ishmael dying in the desert. And she started to cry out, started to pray. And Hashem hears the crying of Ishmael. This is another lesson, that although a mother can pray, the main prayers that get answered are from the child, from the person himself. You can pray for other people in life, but a person needs to pray for themselves. She or she is a mother crying out that her son's about to die in the desert. And who did Hashem listen to? Ishmael. Hashem heard Ishmael's prayer, not hers. Hashem calls out to Hagar and says to her not to be afraid, because Hashem heard the crying of Ishmael. And according to his actions now, and not according to what's going to be in the future. And now, these angels, Malachi Asharet, they come and they ask, please don't save him. In the future, Ishmael and his children are going to kill a lot of Jews. And Hashem said, right now he's a tzaddik, he's crying, he's doing tshuva. Right now he's coming back. And I'm not judging him according to the future. Hashem asked from Hagar to get up and to go pick up Ishmael from underneath the tree. And Hashem opens up her eyes and reveals to her that there's a water well close by. She goes and she fills up her kad, her jug, in order to give water to Ishmael. And Hashem watches over Ishmael and raises him, and he sits in the desert, and he would always shoot his bow and arrow. And his mother gets him married with an Egyptian woman, like she is. Sixth Aliyah. In all this period of all these great miracles that are happening to Avram, Avram turns to Abimelech and says to him, Abimelech turns to Avram and says to him, I see that Hashem is with you in everything that you're doing, and therefore I'm asking, please, let's make an oath that in your merit, me and my children, and also my grandchildren, my offspring, we will always, always be saved in exchange for the chesed that I did to you. Then I gave you the opportunity to sit anywhere you want in my land. I try to do something good for you. I see that you're powerful and Hashem is with you. I want my family to be protected. Avram makes a promise and says, we'll stay together, don't worry. Even though Abimelech's workers were always stealing water from the wells of Avraham. And Avraham then tells him off about that and tells him, tell your workers to stay in check, stop touching my wells. And Abimelech answers and says, I had no idea. And you didn't complain until now, you never said anything. Avraham takes gifts of flock and sheep and livestock, and he gives it to Abimelech. Avram gives him a gift now, and they make a brit, they make a covenant. Avram offers him 7 female sheep, and Avimelech asks him, what is this? Avram asks from Avimelech to receive them. So this should be a sign that the wells that are dug here, they're Avram's wells. Here it takes 7 sheep. This is a sign that there's 7 wells here and they're mine. And therefore they called the place Be'er Sheva. 7 wells. Because there, and Sheva means 7. And it also means Shivu'ah, which is an oath, a pact. They swore on the wells. And there were 7 of them, 7 sheep as well. Avimelech and his workers, they go back to Eretz Pilishtim, to the Philistine lands of Gaza and all these places. Avram plants trees in Beersheba so that he'll have fruit to give to his guests. And then everybody who eats will make a blessing to Hashem. Avram was doing mivtzayim. He's like Chabad in the streets, getting people to do mitzvahs. They're the first people. Just here, eat this fruit. Say a blessing to Hashem. Wash your feet off from all the nonsense avodah zarah that you're doing. Come, eat some food. Relax. Take a sleep. Say kriyat shema lamita. Just getting people to do mitzvahs all the time. And Avram stayed a long time in Eretz Pilishtim. Last aliyah, after all of these things, now we get to one of the most amazing things in the whole entire Torah, which is the Akedah, the story of Yitzchak being taken as an offering to Hashem. Again, we have to understand who's being talked about here, what family are we discussing? We're discussing the Avram family that came out of a place of Avodah Zarah, that Avram from a young age has been fighting this idea of idols and praying to violent and twisted gods or any human image at all, no matter who they are, how charming they were, whatever miracles they could do. We pray to God, we don't pray to human beings or to any other idols. And our God, who is so merciful, hates when humans are sacrificed for idol worship. And now Hashem wants to check if Avram is completely with him until the end. This is the 10th test. Avram went through 10 different tests to check his loyalty and see how much he was with Hashem, and now we're at the height of it. And the highest and hardest test in Avram's life, which really none of them were hard, he did all of them like a mighty warrior without asking one question, without ever questioning why at all Hashem was telling him to do this stuff. So now, Avraham is being asked to take his son that he waited 99 years, 100 years to get, after he already lost his other son, to take his one son that is meant to continue his seed and to sacrifice him on an altar to God. The number one thing this man has been fighting for hundreds of years, 130 something years at this moment, you're now telling him at the pinnacle of all of that, I want you to do the thing you hate the most. For me, God. Complete clarity that God's asking you to do it. But it's the last thing in the world that you ever would expect for this God to be telling you to do. So after all of these things, Avraham again is tested now. Do I serve Hashem with all of my might until the end all of what I'm told? Or do I also have my own questions? Do I also think, you know, I know what the Torah means. I know what the true intention is. And Hashem tells him, please take your only son, the one that you love, Yitzchak, and go to the land of Eretz Moriah, the land of Moriah, which is Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And I want you to send up Yitzchak as a Korban Olah, as a elevation offering, which are completely burnt, completely consumed. And just go there. When you go there, I'll show you the place where it is. Avram, what does it say? Vayashkem Avram baboker. Avram got up in the morning. What does that mean? You ever thought about those words? Avram got up in the morning. What does that mean he was doing before he got up?
sleeping. Usually when, like, you have to do something really important, you, like, you would think that if Hashem asked him, that dude stayed up all night.
Correct. If I were to tell you you're going to slaughter your son tomorrow morning, would you go to sleep?
No.
So how did Avram go to sleep?
He had that much emunah.
That much emunah. You have such emunah and bitachon in Hashem. And even Hashem tells you, tomorrow morning I need you to go to Jerusalem and kill your son. He went to sleep. He was able to go to sleep, to rest. Why? This is the will of Hashem. No problem. Full emunah. Full emunah. You have to pay attention to this. Just look at the three words in the Torah can teach us. Vayashkem Avram baboker. Avram got up in the morning. What does that mean? And he gets up in the morning. He doesn't hesitate for a second. He needs to do his job. He gets up early for nets. And he himself, Vayachvosh et chamero. What does it mean, Vayachvosh et chamero? We're talking about one of the most powerful people in the whole entire world, with thousands of people underneath him that converted, that are serving him, slaves that work for him, students that care for him. And he puts the saddle on the donkey. Avram wants to do the mitzvah for Hashem fully. He's the one that's getting up early. He's the one that's preparing the donkey. And he takes his two servants with him, who are his servants, Eliezer and Ishmael. And he takes Yitzchak, and he already prepared all of the firewood that was needed, and he goes according to the commandment of Hashem. And after walking for 3 days, he sees the place, because there was this cloud on top of Har Moriah in Jerusalem. There was a cloud on top of the place. He knew that that was the place to build the altar. Avram asks from his servants to stay here with the chamor, with the donkey. Sit here with the donkey, sit here with the physicality. The Jews got some stuff to do that is spiritual. We got to go to higher levels. Am dome le chamor, that's what they call him. A nation that looks like donkeys. It says to the servants, we have to go daven to Hashem, we're going to go pray to Hashem. Avraham takes the trees that he prepares, and he takes Yitzchak, his son, and he also took inside of his hand the fire and the knife, and they go together towards that place. Yitzchak asks Avraham, there's fire, there's wood, where's the offering? Where is the sheep that you're going to sacrifice? We have everything we need. And Avram says to him, Hashem's going to show us Hashem will show us the sheep, comma, my son. That's how the words are in the Torah. You have to pay attention to it too. That's another thing. Yitzhak says, Avi, my father. And Avram answers, yes, my son. And he says, Inayish, here's the fire. Ba'itzim, and the wood. Ba'yesel olam, where's the sheep for an offering? Vayomer Avraham, and Avram says, Elohim yireh lo aseh, God will see for him who the sheep is for a sacrifice. Bini, my son. Bilchu shnehem yachtav. And they both walked together. So Avram didn't lie. Where do we have this again? The same exact kind of sentence. Yaakov comes to Yitzchak to take the brachas, and he says, who are you? He says, Esav. Ani Esav b'cholcha. I. It's I. Who is that? I. Esav's your firstborn. He didn't lie. Who are you? I'm I. Esav's your firstborn. So the same thing here. Where's the offering? God will see one, my son. So they go to pray. And Avram tells him, we're going to find this sheep somewhere. And from that, Yitzhak starts to understand, if we don't find a sheep, I'm the offering. He got it. Yitzhak at this point is 30 plus years old. He's a man. He's Yitzchak, he's Gvura, Midat Gvura. He's willing to do exactly what he's told to do. Olat Mima, completely pure offering. So with might, he understands that it's him. And even though he understood it, he He still went. They went together. Yitzchak had the same excitement and preparation and readiness to go do this act. And when they got to the place, Avram builds the altar and he prepares the wood. And after that, he starts to tie up and bind Yitzchak. And he places him on the altar. And underneath Yitzchak is all these trees. And as soon as Avram comes to take the tree, the knife, in order to slaughter his son, an angel calls out from the heavens and he says to him, "Al tishlach yadecha, don't send your hand to slaughter Yitzchak, and don't do anything to him." Because Avram thought, okay, not to kill him, that's one thing, but maybe we'll just, you know, a little slice, so that I don't go against what God said. No, don't do anything at all to him. I know that you have awe of Hashem, and then you honor Hashem, and you give the respect to Hashem that's needed with all of your heart. I know it. Don't do it. And you should have asked the question, "Hello, Hashem, you promised me through Yitzchak that I'm going to have blessing and offspring, and now you're telling me that I have to go kill him, and even though you didn't ask." Even though you should have asked, you didn't ask, and you went to go do everything Hashem told you. You can have your calculations, and Hashem can say whatever he wants, but if you know Hashem's talking to you, and he changes his mind, so that's it. What I told you back then is different than what I'm telling you now. It's still God. Still the creator of the world. You do whatever you're told. Avraham lifts up his eyes, and he sees Ayil Achar. He sees a different Ayil. He sees a different ram that's getting all tangled up in the bushes. And Avram goes and takes him and sends him as a sacrifice in place of Yitzchak. Avram calls the place Hashem Yireh, right? Hashem saw, meaning that Hashem saw this place, that it was good, a good place for korbanot, a good place for sacrifices, because on this place in the future there will be temples, the three temples, not just two. And in that place, we'll always remember this offering of Yitzchak, the sacrifice that Yitzchak was willing to make. The angel of Hashem calls out again to Avram and says to him, I swear to you in the name of Hashem, on what you did today, that you were willing to not hold back your only son, that I'm giving you a bracha right now, and Yitzchak Abracha, that your children will be increased like the stars of the sky and like sand on the earth, on the beach, and you're not able to count them. You're not able to count them. And here's another gem. Our forefathers were told that their children, meaning us, will be like the stars of the sky and the sand at the beach. Stars, both of them can't be counted, but there's a difference. Stars are lofty, high things, illuminate the whole entire world. Sand at the beach, we don't want to be like that. And the truth is that a Jewish soul can be both. Sometimes you feel like the stars in the sky, and sometimes you feel like the sand at the beach. Let's try to be more like the stars in the sky, illuminating this world and doing good things. And the bracha is that Avram and Yitzhak are going to rule over all of the world. The Jews run the world. This is an ancient promise that was promised to us over 4,000 years ago. And the whole entire world is blessed by way of listening to the voice of Hashem. Abraham goes back to his children, to his servants, and they all go to Beer Shava. And Abraham goes back from Ahar Moriah. He starts to think in his heart, if I would have shechted, if I would have killed Yitzchak, I would be without any children. How would I ever see my seed? And then Hashem makes it known to Avram that Milcah, his niece, sister-in-law, had children to Nachor, his brother. And one of them is called Betuel. And Betuel gives birth to Rivka, who will become the wife of Yitzchak. And here's another thing that we have to say. There's seven levels of the skies. The Ben Ish Chai talks about this in this week's parasha. There's seven levels of the heavens. There's seven levels of the land. And at the end of this story, after everything Avram went through, after all the 10 tests that he went through, Vayashav Avram el Na'ara ve'akum v'yilchu yachdav el Birshava. They went together to Birshava. V'yeshev Avram be'Birshava. And Avram sat in Birshava. What does that mean? The Ben Ish Chai says that the circumcision that a Jew does, the Brit Milah that a Jew does, is the aspect of eight. Eight is above seven. And it's the Brit is what keeps Im lo briti yomam v'layla chukot shamayim lo samti. If it wasn't for my covenant day and night being kept, I wouldn't establish the heavens and the earth. What does that mean? That a person, by way of their brit milah, by way of staying close to Hashem in a covenant with Hashem, we keep the world in existence. We keep the world in existence. The seven levels of the heaven and the seven levels of the earth, by way of the eight. After all of that, they went back and Avram sat in Beersheba. He ruled over seven. He ruled over the seven, how? Because he had a Brit Milah. And so too, the Ben Ish Chai goes on to say that tefillin, our tefillin that we wear, so too, the rabbis teach us, there's eight times that the Torah tells you to wear tefillin. Eight different times. We say it in the morning, in the two parashiyot of Kadeshli, and in the Shema, it's twice as well, right? For each one it's mentioned is two times, in your hand and in your head. So if a person puts on tefillin, they're keeping eight commandments, and if they don't, they're going against eight commandments. So the milah, circumcision, and tefillin are both connected in establishing the world and keeping the world in rotation and existence. And we're proving this, that after Avraham kept all of these tests and all of these things, he ascended to a place above nature. Your Brit Milah, your connection with Hashem, is what will give you the ability to ascend above nature, that you are the reason that the heavens and the earth exist, that you are the reason that everything in this world stays going, and there's left a little bit of hope that we'll get out of this nonsense and it'll become a much better place, and the world will come back to closely recognizing Hashem and having a relationship with Him. The fastest way to ascend beyond the seven is by way of the eight, which is Chanukah, Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret, the Brit Milah, your Tefillin, Bezat Hashem Yitbarach. We'll have tons of bracha. The Zechut of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Sarah, and Rivka will stand for us. We have a lot of beautiful things in this parasha that we can learn. Can take nearly every line of this parasha and break it down into an hour-long shiur. Here's a summary, just again, so that we know what's going on in the parasha, to understand the importance of the sacrifice of the Akedat Yitzchak. We're meant to read it every single morning. Every single morning we're meant to remember what our forefathers were willing to do, what dedication they had to Hashem Yitbarach. Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Avram got up in the morning, that means he went to sleep. He was so certain he was being told something so pure and so right, even though it meant no sense according to what he understood and what he fought for his whole entire life. The message of Hashem was so clear that he went to sleep the night before he had to slaughter his son. And he got up early in the morning, prepared to do it with quickness, with agile, which means he had joy in his heart. What levels of sacrifice just to connect to Hashem and to keep the word of Hashem going in this world? So too, Am Yisrael, when we get pushed to our hard times and we have to go through the tests, right? Asara nisyonot itnasa Avraham, 10 tests that Avraham went through, we have to see it as nes litnoses. This is a test to be turned into a banner. Why are you getting tested? So Hashem lifts you up, takes you to new heights, and the whole entire world will come closer to recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amen. Kenei Ratzon. Shabbat Shalom.